Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of In the Money. My name is Andrew McGowan, part of our trading strategy desk here at Fidelity. With me today, as always, is Tony Zhang, Chief Strategy Officer and co-founder of Options Play. Tony, it's been a very interesting and volatile week since last Thursday. Glad to have you back on. We've had a lot happening here in the market over the last few weeks. We've seen the S&P find some mean reversion over the last week after hitting a new all-time high. I know many traders and investors are doing their best to manage risk and find opportunities through this dynamic and market environment. So, with that being said, Tony, what are your current macroeconomic views? What developments are you watching, and how have you been over this last week?
Yeah, thank you so much, Andrew. As you said, there's been quite a lot that has happened here in the last week or so. We obviously have a shortened week due to the holidays this week in the US. And we started off the week with a bit of a shift in tone of the overall sentiment for equities. We certainly started off on a much more sour tone. We had the large cap growth and momentum names kind of leading the markets lower heading into the start of the week. But what's interesting enough is that we've seen a bit of a pull, I'm sorry, a bit of a revision here since that start of the week that we're kind of back near all-time highs again. So even though we started off the week on a fair amount of weakness, we're seeing quite a bit of strength here going into the job numbers tomorrow. I think there's a little bit of anticipation that the job numbers ahead may come in weaker than expected, and that's going to shift the calculus with regards to how many rate cuts we're going to get here for 2025. At the moment, the small quote, if you could call it a pullback that we saw here at the beginning of the week, was well within, I would say, normal ranges, especially if you consider the fact that the S&P 500 has rallied more than 30% here over the last few months. So at the moment, bulls very much remain in control here of the markets. And from my perspective, if you look at the S&P 500, as long as it stays above 6,000, that's really where I still maintain that bulls are maintaining control of this market. If we get below 6,000, that's when we have to revisit kind of the overall trend of the markets. But at the moment, it looks like very much that the bulls have control, especially if you saw kind of the price action on the equity markets, but also on VIX. The VIX spiked up to around over 17 to start off the week. We're back at the 15 handle again, really showing that markets are not really concerned about more volatility ahead. Positioning has been a more defensive. That is the one shift that still continues to be in place despite the fact that equities have recovered over the last couple of days. We see healthcare and staples remain the outperforming sectors over the last week, well ahead of technology and discretionary, two of the sectors that are some of the worst performing on the week. So, this really speaks to the fact that we are starting to see a little bit of rotation here as the markets consolidate. And that's generally a good sign here for the overall market or the health of the market rally here. And like I said, I think there's a lot of anticipation ahead going into the job numbers tomorrow, because further weakness in the job numbers are going to set expectations of deeper rate cuts. There's even talks of potentially seeing a 50 basis point cut in September if that deterioration accelerates in that job number. And at the moment, the market is pricing in only two rate cuts. I think we might potentially see three rate cuts, 75 basis points before the end of the year, especially if the labor market continues to weaken. And the one thing I do want to point out here, and we've talked about this a few times throughout the year, but the concern kind of ebbs and flows a little bit over the past year or so, which is around the fiscal and monetary policy of the US Treasuries. The fact that we have $36 trillion worth of debt and the management of that debt load is a concern that we kind of step in and out of throughout the year. And the fact that you see the 30-year reapproach 5% this year, this week, really speaks to the fact that there's a renewed concern despite the rate cuts expectations that we have here. And I think that is something that equity investors really need to pay attention to and focus on, and seeing kind of how those long-dated treasury auctions are coming along, because we're seeing this risk not only here in the US, we're seeing it globally. We're seeing it in the UK, we're seeing it in Japan, we're seeing it in France. All of these countries are seeing their long-dated bond yields trading at multi-year, multi-decade highs. And this is really reflecting the fact that bond market participants are concerned around the overall debt load that we are carrying, you know, in terms of all of these central banks are carrying. And I think this is something that we need to be aware of in the back of our mind as equities reach all-time highs.
Absolutely. I appreciate the insights, Tony. It seems like we've been looking at very similar things lately. As you mentioned, the macroeconomic picture has been a major driver of those narratives over the past few weeks. The equity market seemingly shrugging that off for the most part, but like you mentioned, the bond market really responding over the last few weeks, especially keeping in mind, like you mentioned, Fed policy being a very important variable for the bond world, but it is still a market of buyers and sellers. And what they are doing and voting with their dollars remains important. On the equity side of things, the main short-term level and note seems to be that 20-day simple moving average on the S&P, which has been held since the later part of April and has yet to have two consecutive closes below that level since then, with even a close below that on Tuesday being defended on Wednesday. So we will see if bulls are able to continue to defend this level as it continues to be tested. But on that note, if you would like to get daily live updates and market briefings on these important themes, please join the Trading Strategy Desk's live coaching sessions at fidelity.com/coaching. So that being said, I know you have a trade idea to discuss with us here today. What is that trade idea this week, and what are we looking at as far as its risk and reward opportunities?
Yeah, as the markets move into a bit more of a defensive positioning, and we see some of the weaker sectors start outperforming here, one particular name that I want to point out here is Merck's, because as healthcare outperforms, some of the pharmaceutical stocks, especially ones that have compelling valuations and pipelines that look fairly promising, those are some of the opportunities that I see in the markets right now. And Merck's represents that, in my opinion. So if you look at the chart here of Merck's, you see that the stock recently broke out here around that 82.5 resistance level that's now acting as support. And what's interesting to me here is that as it kind of broke out above these resistance levels, it's outperforming both the S&P 500 and the healthcare sector. And what this shows me is that there's a potential accumulation by institutional investors as the stock is seemingly starting to form a bottom here over the last 6 months. And my initial upside target, if you look at this chart here, is to fill a gap, which is currently around $90 to the upside. But if we can get back above that level, my extended upside targets is around $100 to the upside. So some meaningful upside that I can see here on this stock over the next few months. And if you look at the business here, it's really interesting because Merck's is trading at 9.5 times forward earnings, which is a pretty substantial discount to the industry, a nearly 20% discount to its peers. Yet, if you look at growth expectations for Merck's, it outperforms, or rather the growth expectations outperforms the industry on both top and bottom line. We're looking at EPS growth around 11-12% and revenue growth in the 4-5% range. Both of those are well above the industry, but more importantly, Merck's is far more profitable than most of its peers. Net margins of 26% is nearly 50% higher than most of its peers. So it's more profitable, it's expected to grow faster, yet it trades at a discount that's about 20% to the industry. And that's really where I see substantial upside from a fundamental valuation perspective. And then you look at the business. You know, they recently just announced Q2 earnings and they came out better than expected. And not only that, they raised their full year EPS guidance. And that's a good sign that management is confident in the outlook of the particular stock. And they have, you know, more than 50 drugs in their overall pipeline in terms of development. More than 30 of them are in phase three. And this spans a fairly significant range of therapies that they are currently, you know, developing a pipeline around. And analysts are expecting that nearly 20 of those drugs in those pipelines have a combined sales revenue potential of around $50 billion. So we're talking about meaningful upside, especially since they have some patents that are coming up for expiry at the end of the decade. And these are some of the concerns that investors have with Merck's, but they have a pretty strong pipeline and they recently have been on a strategic acquisition spree with Verona pharmaceuticals, really looking at kind of expanding the therapies that they are continuing to develop. And I think for those reasons, Merck's has a very compelling outlook, given the fact that the technicals and the fundamentals seemingly align quite well here right now. Now, if you look at the options on Merck's, they're not particularly cheap. So I think the best way to play for some upside here right now is to use a call debit spread. So I'm going out to the October expiration and I'm looking at buying the 80 by 90 call spread. Earlier today, you can buy that for about $4.30 for this debit spread. And that gives you the ability to take upside potential here with about a slightly better than 1-to-1 risk reward ratio. But the reason I'm using an in-the-money call spread like this is because Merck's, you know, we don't have a catalyst on the horizon in the immediate future. So I don't necessarily know that you're going to get a quick, fast move immediately to the upside. So by using an in-the-money debit spread like I'm doing right here, I'm reducing the amount of time decay or extrinsic value that I'm paying on this debit spread, which means that time is not as big of a factor for me as I hold on to this trade. It acts more like an equity from that perspective, while giving me kind of downside protection here, because my total risk here is only $430 per contract, which if you look at, compare that to buying 100 shares of the stock, you're looking at roughly 2% of the stock's value is all I'm risking to buy this one contract, which controls 100 shares of Merck's. So this is really why I think this is a good way to take a balanced approach to getting upside exposure while limiting your downside risk using an option structure like this.
Absolutely. Thanks for that excellent breakdown again, Tony. I always like to point out this is a great example how traders can combine a variety of perspectives from a top-down approach, both fundamentally as well as technically. On top of that, it's one of my more favorite conversations on how traders can use options to efficiently allocate to risk, like Tony mentioned. With Merck trying to come out of a basing period, it's important to have a plan for those variety of potential outcomes. When traders are considering different strategies, they are generally considering one leg or two as a more popular sort of perspective. And like you mentioned, one of the benefits of this approach is that predefining of the risk and reward ratio that help those traders plan for those different variety of outcomes, both in the event that they are right, but also, of course, in the event that they are wrong. If this trade, of course, would certainly benefit from a breakout higher here, but also it being risk-defined, if that breakout were to fail, it would have that component compared to owning the shares outright, like you mentioned. So naturally, that benefit of that certainty does come with a cost, but sometimes that cost can allow traders to feel better about those variety of potential outcomes. But that being said, now that we have covered this trade, it's time to review a trade from a prior week's episode. I always find these trade lookbacks very helpful for newer option traders because it allows them to see how those risk and reward opportunities, like we mentioned, have played out in the real world. So with that being said, Tony, what trade are we looking back on this week?
Yeah, I want to take a look at Alphabet. And this is a prime example of a trade that we continue to follow and we continue to try to hit home runs on the back of one profitable trade. So a few weeks back, I actually laid out a bullish thesis here on Alphabet when it was trading at around $190. And we looked at buying the 190-210 call spread. And that stock really, on earnings, basically traded up to the upper strike. And we adjusted that to the October 210-230 call spread last week. And obviously on yesterday's announcement, the ruling from the antitrust case where Alphabet is not going to have to spin off Chrome, they're not going to have to stop paying Apple to be the default search engine here for Apple devices, that's led the stock to rally another nearly 10% on the back of that. So I think this is really where, even though it's only a week into this particular trade when we bought the 210-230 call spread, the stock is approaching that upper strike again of our debit spread. So what we purchased last week for about $6.90 is now trading around double that, around $13.35. I'm advocating that what we do here is we protect our profits even further by rolling it up again. But this time I'm not getting as aggressive because the stock has run so much here in the last few months. So what I'm doing now is I'm going to close out the 210-230 call spread for that $13.55. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to look at rolling it up by another $10. So I'm moving the two strike prices up by $10 to the 220-240 call spread. That basically straddles the current price of the stock. And earlier today, you can buy that for about $9.65. So it's taking a similar approach to what I'm doing with Merck's here. I'm buying a debit spread that is in the money already. And this way, what I'm paying for in terms of the call spread is mostly intrinsic value. There's a little extrinsic value that I'm paying. And what that means is that even if Alphabet doesn't move much in the next 45 days, roughly between now and expiration, I'm not going to lose much to time premium. And if it does rally from here, I still have about a 1-to-1 risk reward ratio on the trade that I have now. But if you actually roll the profits from the previous trade into this trade, as you can see, my maximum risk here is only $300 to the downside, while my maximum profit potential is $1,700. And if you actually factor into the first of the third trades into this third trade, it actually even is even better than that. But you know, just looking at these two trades alone, as you can see, by adjusting your winners, you can turn a trade that was profitable into a much more favorable risk to reward trade here, risking $300 to potentially make $1,700. These are the ways that you can take a trade that still has 45 days left to go, lock in some profits, and even extend your profit potential if it does continue to move further, and really have a much stronger risk reward on adjustment like this.
Terrific. That look back really demonstrates the power of active management and why it's always important to have a continuous outlook on that trade at hand. Even more so, you know, on spreads like this, it's important to consider how that risk and reward profile changes as the trade plays out. It's captured a portion of its potential gain. And as you mentioned, two trades have now captured a portion of that gain. So booking those profits allows us to realize those. And the issue sometimes as traders, we can really anchor ourselves to try to capture the entirety of the maximum gain that they were positioned for at the onset of the trade, overlooking any potential for it to turn around on them and any remaining risk that they may have while still being exposed to that position. So this allows us to capture some of those profits, like you mentioned, reconfigure the trade and have that moving forward. But that being said, that does bring us to a close for today's event. I want to thank all of our viewers for tuning in today, as always. Before we go, we want to tell you about the first ever Fidelity Front Row. We are bringing some of our top investing pros together with our social communities for an exclusive live event happening on September 10th at 12 p.m. Eastern Time. So tune in for timely market insights, product updates, and the chance to ask your investing questions live. There's even a special merch drop just for the attendees. So that is going to be streaming live on Reddit, Discord, YouTube, and Fidelity.com again at September 10th at 12 p.m. So reserve your spot now and get your front row seat to the first ever Fidelity Front Row. Visit our subreddit for more details. Also, don't forget to tune into the Trading Strategy Desk's follow-up session hosted by myself tomorrow, Friday at 1:30 Eastern Standard Time. You can sign up for that class by going to Fidelity.com/InTheMoneyFollowUp. We also offer a Fidelity Active Investor newsletter where we strive to provide meaningful and timely trading insights right to your inbox by going to Fidelity.com/Active Investor Weekly. We're looking forward to seeing you all next week. Until then, take care, everyone.
Past performance is no guarantee of future results. Options trading entails significant risk and is not appropriate for all investors. Certain complex option strategies carry additional risk. Before trading options, contact Fidelity Investments by calling 800-544-5115 to receive a copy of Characteristics and Risks of Standardized Options. Supporting documentation for any claims, if applicable, will be furnished upon request. There are additional costs associated with option strategies that call for multiple purchases and sales of options, such as spreads, straddles, and collars, as compared with a single option trade. Technical analysis focuses on market action, specifically volume and price. Technical analysis is only one approach to analyzing stocks. When considering which stocks to buy or sell, you should use the approach that you're most comfortable with. As with all of your investments, you must make your own determination as to whether an investment in any particular security or securities is right for you based on your investment objectives, risk tolerance, and financial situation. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. Greeks are mathematical calculations used to determine the effect of various factors on options. Indexes are unmanaged. It is not possible to invest directly in an index. Views expressed are as of the date indicated, based on the information available at that time, and may change based on market or other conditions. Unless otherwise noted, the opinions provided are those of Options Play, and not necessarily those of Fidelity Investments or its affiliates. Fidelity does not assume any duty to update any of the information. News, commentary, market data, and research reports are from third-party sources unaffiliated with Fidelity, unless otherwise noted, and are provided for informational purposes only. Fidelity does not endorse or adopt third-party content. Fidelity makes no guarantee that the information supplied is accurate, complete, or timely, and does not provide any warranties regarding results obtained from their use. Any screenshots, charts, or company trading symbols mentioned are provided for illustrative purposes only and should not be considered as an offer to sell, a solicitation of an offer to buy, or a recommendation for the security. Options Play and Fidelity Investments are independent entities and are not legally affiliated. The third-party trademarks appearing herein are the property of their respective owners. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC. Copyright 2024 FMR LLC. All rights reserved. 1109225.1.0. Information provided in the podcast is general in nature, is provided for informational purposes only, and should not be construed as investment or tax advice. Fidelity Investments disclaims any liability for any direct or incidental loss incurred by applying any of the information in this podcast. This podcast is intended for U.S. persons only and is not a solicitation for any Fidelity product or service. This podcast is provided for your personal non-commercial use and is the copyrighted work of FMR LLC. You may not reproduce this podcast in whole or in part in any form without the permission of FMR LLC.